Yes, folks, that's right. It's time for the TNT News Hour, the trusted news trader. Welcome to BBSRadio.com. I'm the Wednesday afternoon host, Don Nikoloff, and I'm going to be discussing world news that you do not hear on the mainstream. And boy, do we have a hatful today. And I'm going to keep some music in the background because I know how much everybody likes to dance when they listen to the news. We've got this posted on the original TNT bulletin board at bbsradio.com, and you can see the link for that on the left side of the home page, or the index page, as we sometimes call it. Just click on that, and you get a whole list of links to articles posted on the site, or which will redirect you to other sites where this information can be found. What is interesting in light of what has been occurring recently in the political debate, and there has been some outspoken backlash against Fox News for their decision to keep presidential candidate Congressman Dr. Ron Paul from the New Hampshire Forum, as they like to call it. They are now receiving a backlash of boycotting the advertisers, sponsors of Fox News, and people are just literally the channel number from their VCRs and their television sets. I've done that, and I hope you do too. They don't deserve our more, but we will give them some parting shots before we finish this fight. From the TNT bulletin board, this was posted by Mystic. Now, I don't know Zany Mystic. I don't know if Zany is a male or a female, but Zany was kind enough to post this on our site, and it's titled Rupert Murdoch Calls for Fox News Viewers. Rupert Murdoch calls Fox News viewers morons and white trash. I guess he knows the racial background of his viewers. Rupert Murdoch calls Fox News viewers morons and white trash. Experienced journalists fearlessly reporting the truth in pursuit of the real story. This is out of New York. In a conversation with Fox News celebrities Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity that was picked up by an open microphone, Rupert Murdoch, chairman and CEO of News Corp, repeatedly referred to Fox News viewers as morons and white trash. The incident took place as the three men were sitting together at a benefit dinner for the Ann Coulter Defense Fund. Apparently, they had been drinking heavily, which may account for their lack of restraint and obliviousness to the open microphone that was positioned directly in front of them. At one point, while addressing O'Reilly and Hannity, Murdoch said, "Can you believe the," and I pardon the language, but I'm going to use the quote, "the shit we get away with? Good thing our viewers are dumb as doorknobs or else we would be in trouble." To which Hannity laughed and then replied, "Yeah, I heard that people who watch Fox News have to wear bibs to catch their drool so their sofas won't be stained by the tobacco juice, and that's just the women." O'Reilly, also laughing, then joined in by saying, "Hey, how many Fox viewers does it take to change a light bulb?" "None. They all refuse to change the bulb because they prefer living in the dark." And I add to that, "Ha, ha, ha, Mr. O'Reilly." However, the unkindest cut of all is of all that is sure to enrage Fox viewers came at the end of the conversation when Murdoch raised his glass in a toast and said, "God bless trailer park trash and idiots everywhere. Without them, Fox News would be nothing and I would not be a billionaire." After news of the recorded conversation became public, Fox News released the following brief statement. "We encourage our viewers to reject anything they hear or see that does not come directly from Fox News. Fox News is the only source of information you need for fair and balanced coverage." And with that, I would like to segue into a piece which I read on my show a couple of nights ago. I am the author of this piece, and this was sent to Fox News by me, and it's going to reveal what you just heard. In fact, I wrote this 2 days before the news event came out that I just discussed. So you judge for yourself about my perceptions. This is entitled "Your Network's Unfair and Unbalanced Propaganda," and it's a letter to Fox by myself, Don Nikoloff. "To whom it may but probably doesn't concern, your network's decision to exclude presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul from the New Hampshire debate is not only a gross miscalculation, it is indicative of the cold, callous, and even conspiratorial methods you employ in order to obfuscate the truth. Shame on all of you. Fox News obviously relies on the repetitive mantras formerly reserved to pre-World War II Nazi Germany and the Zionist fascist propaganda spewed by a ruthless regime bent on world domination and the annihilation of anyone that stood in its way. You have gravely underestimated the intelligence and the discernment of your viewing audience. As an occasional listener, I have found it increasingly difficult to sit through more than 5 minutes of your fair and balanced newscasts without fighting the urge to vomit, or purchase one of the many pharmaceutical wares your sponsors peddle to help overcome nausea and achieve a modicum of relief. You have yet to find the sponsor whose product can produce such a result. Your so-called expert commentators have obviously been compromised either through the news department higher-ups or through intelligence agency-mandated protocols, otherwise known as propaganda. Your willingness to parrot the same talking points heard on your competitors' networks smacks of the brainwashing techniques employed by the other networks and their sponsors. I laugh at your weak-kneed political analyses and your refusal to adequately credit the important journalistic contributions of your political contributors. For example, you are quick to point out William Kristol's affiliation with the Weekly Standard, though it would be far more fair and balanced to reveal his contributions to the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC, and its relationship to Evan and the War on Terror. Insulting your audience, including the many supporters of Ron Paul, has become your new trademark to charge that his supporters are wackos, conspiracy theorists, or nutcases is indicative of your ignorance. Blaming the popularity Congressman Paul has garnered on the Internet, which, by the way, is an excellent source of the fair and balanced truth, is moronic. After all, Fox has its own Internet sites, does it not? The Internet just happens to be our preferred method of finding and sharing the truth. We have no ulterior motives. Can you or anyone else in the mainstream media honestly make the same declaration? As a journalist and a talk show host, I will continue to expose the intentionally slanted, disingenuous, and conspiratorial trash you call news. I will continue to educate the masses about the various anomalies that reveal the true nature of the mainstream media and who pulls your puppet strings. Your sponsors have no influence on me nor on the purchases I make. Rest assured that that reality is in no danger. However, you can bet that my readers and listeners will hear the truth in what I write and broadcast and will act accordingly. They will respond as they see fit. Your fair and balanced poll should be an accurate appraisal of a shortfall in advertising revenue. That is, if you can come to grips with the backlash of a consumer boycott. Your network's refusal to accurately report what is really going on in the world is itself a scandal, but then I am not revealing anything that you yourselves do not already know. The public, your listening audience, is now finding that out for themselves. You have obviously resorted to attacking the messenger due to the realization that the message itself cannot be attacked, especially when based upon the truth. What a noble cause. Finally, your refusal to permit Ron Paul to participate in the candidates' forum is the straw that broke the camel's back. You have gambled and lost, and so have your handlers. One may wonder to what extent the American public can be dumbed down. I suggest that Fox News should be the benchmark for such a measurement in the future. Sincerely, Don Nikoloff. And I urge the listeners out there and anyone who goes to the BBS site, write your own letter and also boycott Fox News. Stop watching them. Stop supporting their sponsors. Most of them are drug companies anyway, and their agenda is to dumb you down and poison your bodies and your minds. And with that, you will wake up and you will see the truth and what's going on here. Now, this letter, I repeat, came out 2 days before this revelation about Rupi Murdoch surfaced. In fact, I just found out about it, so I thank Mad Dog for letting me know that that had occurred. Also, I had sent in a story, and I urge everyone to read up on Edgar J. Steele. Now, you've got to really allow for the language. The man is very upset, but he himself has basically addressed Fox News, pointed out very accurately that they are an entertainment company. I'm disgusted at what I hear the so-called news anchors talking about. I mean, you would think you were on some street corner or in a subway in a very depressed metropolitan area where drug dealers and hookers hung out to hear the way they talk on the news. It is disgusting. It's nothing but mind control propaganda, and I just urge you to wake up to that fact. Those of you who are not aware of it and wondering why you're not hearing the truth, you heard what Mr. Murdoch thinks of you. Now let's start showing them what we think of them. And the best way you can do it is to not support them. And let them know how you feel. Come right out and say it. You will feel better for having done so. I can tell you that I have vented numerous times by writing this letter to them, as well as reading it on two separate shows. I may read it again someday, just to remind us of who we're dealing with. That said, okay, there are some, we've got tons of news on the TNT index today, and I was very happy to see. I had lots of choices to talk about, and there's some really good stuff there. I had picked out a particular piece. Again, this happens to be about Fox, and it's a two-parter. The Mad Dog posted the second part, and the first part was a message that was posted by Robert Greenwald, and I'd like to read this. This is an example of the mind control to an extent, and I'm not intending to attack Mr. Greenwald. I'm merely pointing out something that Mad Dog will point out after I've read the first portion of this. Now, this is from Mr. Greenwald. Dear friends, the Internet is buzzing with Billy Boy shoving an Obama staffer this weekend, thanks in large part to our friends at Crooks and Liars. It's been fun watching O'Reilly make a spectacle of himself, traveling to New Hampshire to beg Barack to come on his show. Watch the video. Number one, watch the video. Number two, support Obama's decision to reject Fox. Jonathan and Bill are Fox attacks duo rushed in to do a video showing why Obama is so right to remain strong and principled in refusing to go on. See the video and laugh out loud at his invoking the Constitution. I kid you not. And he gives the web URL. It's in the article there. I'm not going to take the time to read that, but it is there. And you can watch the video. I have not. Please spread the video far and wide, he goes on to say. We want thousands signing on to support Obama in hanging tough against the Fox bullies. Robert Greenwald. Then there's a PS here. Let's have a little fun, too. Post a comment on the blog with all the reasons you can think of why Obama should not go on Billy's show. The most compelling, funny, interesting will score some cool BNF's gear and a signed Outfoxed Fox Attacks special edition DVD. Now, BNF is Brave New Films in Culver City, California. And I'm not going to critique Brave New Films. I'm not actually that familiar with their work, but this is obviously someone who's exercising their right to have Obama supported. And I think before we jump to such conclusions, we should really know who these candidates are supporting or whose agenda they are promoting. And I can tell you, when I saw a recent picture of some of the Democratic candidates standing on a podium, several with their hands on their hearts while the national anthem was being played, Obama did neither. Neither sang the national anthem nor at least put his hand on his heart. Now, some of us know also that the symbolic gesture of placing your hand on your heart is a skull and bones ritual that was covertly put into our practice of saying the Pledge of Allegiance and singing our national anthem. They intend for us to do that. It's also a Masonic method that's used to subliminally get us to comply with them. Now, on that basis, I cannot fault Obama for not following the Masonic skull and bones practice of placing your hand on your heart. You do that for your own reasons. However, I do question his patriotism. And I rightfully do so. I know quite a bit about his intelligence background. Now, let's get to the response of the email that I just read. And this is from Mad Dog. My thoughts on Obama are quite clear. Seems to love Israel. Seems to come out of nowhere. Seems to be a best-selling author. Seems to be not someone to pledge allegiance to this country. Seems to have a little experience, yet all this credibility. Seems to be what the media mafia wants in power. What does that mean to me? When media promotes someone, I immediately know the person is no good for America and humanity, as I know not to trust the mainstream media one bit. How about you? So why would this Fox opponent now say this? Jonathan and Bill, our Fox Attacks duo, rushed in to do a video showing why Obama is so right to remain strong and principled and refusing to go on. See the video and laugh out loud at his invoking the Constitution. I kid you not. Do you see now? Seems the same players are stringing people along with deception and false perception through various good guy, bad guy propaganda. Read the email below, which I already did. And you decide. Remember, big media loves Obama. Why? And that's from Mad Dog. And I cannot agree more with Mad Dog. In fact, what I prefaced his response to absolutely is supported by what he said. So there are two of us at least agreeing, and I submit to you on behalf of Mr. Mad Dog and myself that we know what's going on, which is why we arrived at the same conclusion. All right, we are going to take a short break here, and I'm going to move along with my next portion of the TNT News Hour, and I'd like to pay special tribute to one of my sponsors. Actually, we're going to do two sponsors right here, so you're going to hear something new on my show, a couple of commercials, because we do have bills to pay. Stick with us. You're listening to the TNT NewsHour. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. We'll be right back.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
For over 18 years, Lametco International has been a supplier of nutritional supplements and skincare products of the highest quality. Lametco's first line of defense kit is our most popular combination of safe, natural supplements created and designed to assist you in maintaining a healthy immune system. We also offer a unique, all-natural skin exfoliation product which helps remove brown spots and wrinkles. Are you suffering from joint or muscle pains? We also offer a line of products to help bring you natural relief. Listeners to the Evidence Footprints Show will receive a 10% discount and free shipping when you call Lametco International at 1-800-933-2565 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call now, 1-800-933-2565. And that's two of the sponsors of my Evident Footprints show, and they are happy to help out with the TNT NewsHour. And we are back with the second portion. Got a short announcement here. I got an email from a good friend of mine in Florida, fantastic musician and band leader, Fred Badali. And I'll just read the message that he sent for your information here. You may want to attend this event, especially if you're planning on being in the Winter Haven, Florida area in the next couple of weeks. Or I should say Winter Park, Florida. I misspoke. Okay. The message is, dear friends, we are hosting a Ron Paul rally on Wednesday evening, January 23rd from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. And Soul Function will be performing our brand of slamming, horn-driven American music and paying tribute to our man of great integrity, Ron Paul. We're trying to see if we can get Dr. Paul to attend, and we'll be sure to let you know if that were to happen. So come and party with us as our 10-piece R&B dance band with six horns plus three dynamic singers rock the house. That's right. On this night, we're a 13-piece group. Y'all be dancing up a storm. Bring your friends, and please forward this email to your family and friends. Our Ron Paul rally will be co-hosted by the Haven Lounge, located at the Aloma Mall, 6700 Aloma Avenue, corner of Forsyth and Aloma, facing Forsyth, Winter Park, Florida. And the zip code, in case you want to write to them, is 32792. Phone number there is area code 407-673-2719. Snacks and munchies will be provided. There is a $10 cover charge for a good time like no other, because you just can't lose with rhythm and blues. And it's signed, thank you, Fred, your drummer, band leader, co-producer, co-host. Fred goes on to add, great drummers are consistent. Ron Paul would make an excellent drummer. Now, just as an added bit of information here, we are going to try to do a simulcast of that event if we're able to work out the logistics. That'll be on January 23rd, and maybe be able to present it as a show. Now, certainly we would want to be there, especially if Dr. Paul is able to make that event. And in between the music sets and all the partying and hoopla that's going to be going on, Fred will be conducting sort of a forum, and these may be anywhere from 15, 20 minutes, maybe as long as a half an hour, where various speakers will be allowed to bring attention to Dr. Paul, and if he's there, I can assure you that he'll also be speaking at the event. Again, that will be January 23rd at the Haven Lounge in Winter Park, Florida. And with that, I also want to invite any of the listeners who would like to comment on any of the news today to call into the numbers which are posted on the site, as you know, as a regular procedure of listening to bbsradio.com. Many people call in, and I'll give those numbers out to you should you like to participate in the news. This is your news hour, and we can run this totally differently from what the mainstream does. Number one, the content's already beyond what they would report. But we're giving you the chance to speak. Our toll-free number in the USA and Canada is area code 888. That means we pay for the call. 228-4494. Also, our worldwide toll-free number, area code 877-489-6350. Then we have three direct lines. I know those lines are just burning off the hook right now. Area code 530 for these three numbers. 776-5154, 776-5185, and 876-9916. So please call in, give us some comments, tell us what you think. If you're supporting Dr. Paul or you have some new news to share with us, by all means, give us a buzz, and we'll sneak you in. Now, bringing us to the next event, or I should say, bit of information that we're going to share with you. Again, you've not heard a lick of this on the mainstream media, and it has to do with the embezzlement of trillions of dollars from the U.S. Treasury and the ever-changing, ever-unfolding saga of Ambassador Leo Wanta and the $27.5 trillion that he amassed through an intelligence operation mandated by President Ronald Reagan's Executive Order Number 12333. And that gave intelligence agents who were working in other parts of the world the ability to conduct business with the intention of having that business support their expenses overseas, as well as repatriating profits into the U.S. Treasury. If that has ever been attempted, I can guarantee you that three administrations have stolen the money, and it's in the trillions of dollars. And besides that, they have duplicated the funds to an amount now which is appearing to far exceed what was previously thought to be around $600 trillion in bogus derivatives, hedge funds, mortgage loans, you name it. And this money has become a political and economic ping-pong ball that's bounced its way across the planet several times since 1993. Now, recently, we had posted, and I had reported on this on my Evident Footprint show, that there was a report that our Treasury Secretary, Henry Merritt Paulson, Jr., had been shot and then some days later had died. It was reported by Christopher Story at worldreports.org. And we posted my MP3 file and I think something that I had either sent in or written on our TNT website, but I know that that Don had headlined this particular story. Now, a journalist, a reporter, a talk show host goes into an area of great risk reporting something that turns out to be a bogus news story. And I did preface my support of what Christopher Story has written by the fact that this could have been an intelligence scam designed to bring him down. Mr. Story himself is alluding to that fact, yet information is still conflicting, which is coming out. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if Secretary Paulson had no activity scheduled through January 4th, why did he appear with the President of the United States on January 4th? It was intentional to put his face on TV, and we don't even know if that was a live shot, because they have video archives, and they can very well stage these events, in fact. It's that they use several well-known Hollywood makeup artists to use their magic on lookalikes, doubles, stand-ins for many characters, and governments do this around the world. This is not something new. Yet it's not something you are going to hear on the mainstream media. So if you don't read, if you don't pay close attention to what you see in some of the revealing spy movies that tell us about some of these things that are actually going on in the government and in the shadow government, you were going to have a hard time comprehending that they use doubles. Now, we've seen this with Saddam Hussein. When they supposedly captured Saddam Hussein, the guy they caught looked nothing like him. Not a bit like him. And I don't mean because he had long hair. I mean, the guy's jawline, the guy's teeth, his eyes, everything, his nose, everything about the guy was different from Hussein. And they pulled the same trash on us recently with another Osama bin Laden tape that came out a couple of months ago, where all of a sudden bin Laden looked like he was using Just for Men and had this youthful appearance. I've been told by various people, and my intuitive approach is that bin Laden's been dead since December of 2001. And they've just created this boogeyman to foment these wars. And they're bucking for another one. They just about had one recently, within the last day or two, regarding some gunboats that left the shores of Iran and circling the U.S. destroyers that were out in the Persian Gulf. So they're instigating these events. These are written scripts. They know where they want to go. They know that they want to make money by fomenting the war. They want to produce chaos. They want to institute martial law all over the world. And they're using these events, these stage events, to line their pockets with their phony contracts and their bank robberies is what it is, not to mention that they're stealing the assets, the oil of these countries. And we've got to be discerning. You're not hearing the truth in the media. You're not going to hear the truth in the media. They don't want you to know the truth in the mainstream media. So stop expecting to see stories like the Paulson shooting on the mainstream. You're not going to see it. In fact, the news that you do get is a smokescreen to divert your attention from what's really going on. Now, Christopher Story had reported, as of January 2nd, he reported that Henry Paulson had been shot in the chest. That was what he had been told. It was confirmed by people in the State Department. It was confirmed by people with intelligence connections. It was confirmed by people in the government. And we were suspicious of it. I say we, those of us who pay close attention to this story. And BBS Radio took a shot and headlined my initial report of this, and I thank them for that. And I covered my behind by noting well that some of the stuff hadn't been confirmed. But it seems to be a bit more confirmed, and Mr. Story actually reveals some new information. The extent of the criminality has not waned in the least. It has increased. In fact, this whole Paulson episode was another ruse for them to obfuscate and steal more money. And I'm going to quote an article that just came out this afternoon. It's actually published at 3:54 a.m. in the U.K. The article is entitled "Paulson Diversion Masked Theft of $44-plus trillion. Treasury Shootings and D.C. Civil War Confirmed." The State Department confirmed that Paulson died. Bush contradicted them. Citibank ordered to settle today or its assets will be seized and frozen. Washington bloodbath will continue if settlements keep being frustrated. Sensitive intelligence censored from this report pending settlement today. Now, what Christopher Story is saying is there is some important information that he preferred to report, but on the basis of a so-called settlement, again, we merry-go-round of the Lee Wanta settlement with Ameritrust Group, Inc., and the obfuscated stolen funds in the possession of Citibank, New York. Now, Mr. Story begins this article with an introduction. The editor prepared the report below in order to expose the background to the entire Paulson episode and to place it in the context of what was really going on behind the scenes. In a case moving as rapidly as this one, a report prepared yesterday is overtaken by events today and vice versa. Luckily, the editor was too tired at 5 a.m. British time to complete the posting of this report, because it became clear on the morning of January 9th that the absolute end of the line had been reached. Because of this understanding, we were in a much better position to deconstruct what that Paulson matter was all about. We summarize the position here in the context of today's news. Now, keep in mind that that Paulson was not only shot on or about December 28th or 29th, but that it was reported that he died on January 2nd. Paulson, Kimmett, and one further high U.S. Treasury official were shot. That is confirmed. Then, on the back of these horrible facts, Cheney's desperate disinformation apparatus built a black ops sting to the effect that Paulson was dead. We don't really know, despite post-mortem appearances, whether he is or not, but this is now a diversion. Why, given that the shootings took place, was it necessary to build a sting, a possible lie that Paulson was dead, on the back of that fact? The answer to this has now become clear. It is this. Post-settlement, there is to be endless silence. The few despised alternative media outlets, and I guess I am one, that have tried to expose this historically unprecedented financial criminality are to be left out to dry. Now, in the cases of several outlets based in the United States, of which I am one, the relevant forces can do any number of things. Cease payments, withdraw handlers, harassment, threats, whatever. But what can they do to silence us, within reason, given our background and connections? The answer is not a lot. So, as usual, they resort to the only game they know, dirty tricks. Since they want total silence to reign forever and a veil to be drawn across this evil, stinking theater of criminality, the ideal solution for them would be to try to discredit the only sources that have led this hideous information into the public domain. So they tried it on by elaborating on the shootings and possibly lying that Paulson had died. We still don't know what happened to Kimmett, meaning Robert Kimmett, who is a deputy secretary of treasury. By the way, see hard evidence of something very nasty below. So we're coming up to a nasty portion here in a moment. As you will see from the report below, the sting operation has not succeeded. Furthermore, post-settlement, the question remains. What are they going to do about Mr. Christopher Story? Here is a suggestion. Rely on his goodwill. No, we won't be silent, but as you will also see below, we do try to be helpful whenever we can. We will govern our responses in accordance with the future behavior of the forces who would like to shut us down without a cause. All we have ever done is pro bono publico to publish the truth about hidden criminality at the intergovernmental level that stinks in the nostrils of every normal human being who is not sitting on his or her brains. Now, please take note of this. In the text below, you will see that a section which was to contain extremely sensitive intelligence has been censored. This has happened because the editor and Mr. Cottrell, meaning Leo Wanta's Treasury Vice President of Ameritrust Group, Inc., were discussing this article yesterday and incorporated certain sensitive information which needs to be delivered into the public domain and which will have devastatingly severe consequences behind the scenes were it to be publicized. The eavesdroppers overheard what we had planned and telephoned Mr. Cottrell this morning to ask him to prevail upon the editor for the intelligence to be withheld. The editor has complied, but only on the clear, strict understanding that the Wanta settlement, which we believe may well be on the verge of implementation, is indeed affected today, 9th of January, 2008. I just add to this that we're speaking about now specifically $4.5 trillion plus some several hundred billion dollars in punitive damages for an act of conversion. I don't know that that will take place, but this is what I understand is to occur. Back to Mr. Story's piece now. Therefore, should it transpire later today that we have been deceived, the intelligence that has been censored from this report will be reinserted without further ado, since we will not be bound by any undertaking if other parties have renegade on theirs or double-crossed payees yet again. Deconstructing the Paulson diversion. On January 8, 2008, a figure appearing to be Henry M. Paulson, Jr., Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, appeared on CNBC talking about the economy and related matters. The voice appeared to correspond closely to Paulson's known voice. Whether this individual was Paulson or not is not confirmed, especially in the light of forensic examination of video footage and of the event, and of earlier post-mortem appearances, not dealt with here, but the TV show purported to be broadcast live. Mr. Michael C. Cottrell, MS, the Executive Vice President and Treasurer of Ambassador Wanta's Ameritrust Group, Inc., therefore telephoned the editor to ask him whether he would publicize the sources of the information that Paulson was shot and gravely wounded on 28th to 29th December and that he died shortly thereafter. This is done below. Peculiar to the United States, a mini-industry of doubles exists who hire themselves out to stand in for prominent people who have either been killed or, for various pressing reasons, need to be absent when they are supposed to be performing. In an email received by the editor from an informed U.S. source at 4:41 p.m. UK time on the 4th of January 2008, on the subject of doubles, the source wrote, "It would be interesting to see if there is more than one Paulson running around. Lookalikes are used a great deal for people in sensitive situations because they get murdered a lot, so they keep a spare or use the spare in sensitive situations. Forensic deconstruction of earlier still photographs, video, and alleged appearances raise serious doubts about the reliability of some of the images, according to several experts who have shared their analyses with us. However, let us assume for that Paulson himself was interviewed on CNBC at around 8 a.m. on 8th January. This presentation assumes, subject to issues raised in the sources cited below, that the real Paulson had suddenly materialized for public consumption. Furthermore, we had a contact who deliberately attended the Paulson event at the Westin Hotel in New York City on the 7th of January. In fact, I reported on that on my show last night, having paid $20 entry fee. Although he sat at the back of the room, he thought that the person speaking was indeed Henry M. Paulson. Why did the U.S. Treasury not demand a retraction? If this was indeed the case, why did the U.S. Treasury not demand from the editor of this service an immediate retraction of our report that Paulson had been shot and had subsequently died? One would have thought that Paulson's office would have seen to it that the report was denied. Why did Paulson's office not issue a denial of this report? At no time has the report been officially denied. How very odd. Thus, it would seem that the U.S. Treasury was in no way fazed by that fact that Paulson had been reported to have been shot and had died. Why on earth was that? Fact, Treasury compliance specifically confirmed that the following official was shot by special forces operatives on the 28th, 29th of January. Henry M. Paulson, U.S. Treasury Secretary. At 1:08 UK time on 3rd of January 2008, a source who was special to this service emailed the editor as follows, quote, I was told that an Undersecretary of Treasury was also eliminated. We have separate confirmations reviewed below. This email is, of course, held on file. Shooting of Paulson confirmed by Treasury compliance. At 2:30 p.m. UK time on the 8th of January 2008, Michael C. Cottrell, MS, speaking on an open transatlantic line that was immediately tapped into by inquisitive intelligence eavesdroppers, and so that these eavesdroppers would hear what he had to say, specifically and emphatically reiterated that U.S. Treasury compliance had definitively confirmed the shootings, which were expert pass-through shootings. See below, at least, in the case of Paulson, assuming he is alive. We have had no reports at this date of Kimmett having been seen since the shootings. Mr. Cottrell repeated this information with great emphasis for the benefit of the eavesdroppers. Mr. Cottrell then added that what we could not confirm was that Paulson had died later. However, the editor had been separately informed by a source citing the U.S. State Department that he had died. If the fact that Paulson had died was a lie, it was perpetrated deliberately by the U.S. disinformation apparatus in order to sting the editor and to try to compromise our exposures. This desperate ruse has not worked. Now, I interject here that I did point that out in my broadcast, my reporting of these facts, and Don Newsom honored that and posted the audio file from that show on the headline section of the bbsradio.com homepage. So I covered my rear end, and Christopher Story definitely covered his to the best he could. Now, I go back into a bit more reporting here. On the contrary, it has compounded the perpetrator's terminal problems, as you will see if you read what we have to say now. Why, too, did the Paulson family not protest at the editor's report? Was Merritt Paulson, Mr. Paulson's son, resident at Lake Oswego, Oregon, not disturbed by this report? Apparently not. Was the report not officially denied by the Treasury, let alone the Paulson family, because the U.S. government despises what its cynical officials call the alternative media, such as me, to such an extent that it refuses to recognize its existence? Put another way, since the report appeared in the so-called alternative media, was it not worth denying simply because, by definition, it could not be true? If so, what is the problem? Why all the concern? Since the report appeared in the alternative media, it supposedly cannot be true. The reverse of the lie, that if a report has not been published in the so-called mainstream, a.k.a. sidestream or late-stream media, it cannot be true either. Welcome to Operation Mockingbird. Operation Mockingbird blocks coverage in the mainstream. Those correspondents who have flooded the editor with emails, and we're speaking about Christopher Story here, he's referring to himself, with emails complaining that the report cannot be true because it hasn't appeared in the mainstream, need to look up Operation Mockingbird. The U.S. criminal counterintelligence community's long-established media control program, which has been running for decades. Just type Operation Mockingbird into your browser or Google and read all about it. This program has for decades successfully denied the American people the truth about issues that the criminal intelligence community, which controls the U.S. government, wishes to disguise or to obfuscate. Therefore, rather than shoot the messenger with the usual knee-jerk response that the report hasn't been confirmed in the mainstream, so it cannot be true, serious students of the dark forces engaged in destroying America should equip themselves with this background, if only to spare the editor and others who are trying to prevent the collapse at the hands of these criminals from being inundated by emailers who haven't done their homework. And I include myself, along with Mr. Story, in that regard. I get emails from people who keep asking me, why don't we see this? How are we supposed to believe this if it's not in the media? And I've counseled, and I will counsel again. You won't hear the truth from the people who don't tell you the truth. It's as simple as that. You're going to get more propaganda, period. Of course, the preceding observations do not address the postmortem appearances of Paulson, which is separate, or is a separate issue dealt with below. The report cannot be denied because the shootings took place. As it turns out, the Treasury could not deny our report of the shootings, even if it had been so inclined, because it was true, as we always do to be the case. What happened was that the supposedly false report that Paulson had died was used in a deliberate Cheney-directed black operation or sting ordered by Bush 41 through Bush 43 and Cheney to discredit the editor of this service and the principals with the following motives: to stall our ongoing successful exposures of the financial criminality, money laundering, drug trafficking, and drug distribution operations of the criminal cadres, which have triggered the ensuing investigations, backed by law enforcement, extensive ongoing investigations, grand jury hearings, DOD internal affairs, and other relevant parties of the continuing thefts, thereby enabling the criminalists to continue business as usual behind the smoke screen of Paulson's death. To provide cover for the stealing of $44 trillion, plus that Mr. Cottrell has confirmed to the editor took place behind the hysteria of the Paulson death. Reason the government was happy with the Paulson diversion, obviously, since the U.S. Treasury did not deny the shootings, because it couldn't, as they did take place, as elaborated further. The Treasury was content for the Paulson frenzy to feed on itself, for some reason. What was the reason? It suited the criminal elements in the U.S. government for the reports to remain out there, diverting everyone's attention from what was actually going on behind the scenes, namely further gross theft and larceny, perpetrated under the control of Bush 41, Bush 43, and Cheney, who, you will recall, is the master disinformation and U.S. PSYOPs operative who formerly controlled the MKUltra and related programs based upon Himmlerian black operations techniques imported lock, stock, and barrel by what soon became the Criminal Central Intelligence Agency, from former Nazi Germany, the qualification former being superfluous given what is being exposed. Langley Headquarters bears the name of the world's worst criminal. Several years ago, Langley, the headquarters of the Nazi-penetrated criminal enterprise that is devastating the whole world called the Central Intelligence Agency, was renamed the George Bush Center for Intelligence. By this means, George Bush Sr., the world's biggest crook, formalized the absolute control over the CIA that he had wielded de facto since becoming President Reagan's vice president in 1981. Think about it this way. Suppose there is such a phenomenon as an intelligence white hat, and suppose that the white hats were to have reached the collective conclusion that George Bush Sr. is indeed the most dangerous and ruthless criminal operative alive. What are they now going to do about it, given that their headquarters is named after the world's biggest crook himself? They are stuck, because in seeking to distance the CIA from this monster, Godfather, they will have to acknowledge before world public opinion that the CIA itself is the hideous criminal enterprise that we all know it to be. So what do? They decide they cannot distance the CIA and themselves from George Bush Sr., the practical consequence of which is that George Bush Sr. believes that he can do anything he likes with 100% assumed certainty of perpetual impunity. The CIA is collective lackey, or the collective lackey, whether or not it has had second thoughts of George Herbert Walker Bush Sr., DVD. Now, that's a reference to Dachau DVD, or the Deutsche Verteidigungsdienst, of which he presides. That's the continuation of the Nazi Abwehr, the secret SS, that was moved to Oklahoma City around 1947, and the original leader, which I have also written about, Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, who became ill in 1976, passed the buck on to Henry Kissinger for 2 years until Bush Sr. took over the leadership of that intelligence organization stationed in Dachau, Germany in 1978, over which he still presides. So that is the reference to the DVD. CIA furious that it has been exposed. All the same time, we were informed on the 3rd of January that the CIA is furious because it has been exposed and doesn't know what to do. This criminal enterprise never imagined that there would be there would ever come a time when it would have to deal with this problem. But the ongoing exposure of the CIA, consequent upon the criminal cadre's grotesque mishandling of Wantagate, can only lead to calls for this dangerous, reprobate, and recalcitrant criminal enterprise, the headquarters of which is named after the godfather of criminal godfathers, to be cut down to size or closed down. Now, that article continues. I urge you to go to worldreports.org or my website, directlightproductions.com, where I do have many of Christopher Story's articles posted. Also, read through the BBS Radio TNT news page. You are going to learn things that you just won't see on the mainstream media. My thanks go out to Donald Newsom for his support and offering me this opportunity once a week on Wednesday afternoons to read you the news that you don't find on the mainstream. It's been a pleasure being with you. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed today's show, and listen every day, Monday through Friday at the same time, for special guest hosts reading the TNT news. In the meantime, I'll be on this evening, Evident Footprints, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you so much. You have a good day. Bye now.